Hello.
Welcome to another episode of Sophia's Choice, the Golden Girls podcast, the penultimate episode of Sophia's Choice. I am Alan, and
yes, you are.
Without any quippy openings, I'm joined by Brent.
Hello.
And Ski.
That is me.
Today we are going to be going over our...
It's going to be a quip-free episode.
There'll probably be more quips, but just not prepared quips, at least not by me. I don't know what quips you may have in store. I don't want to speak for your quippiness, but...
Like, all of the prepared remarks are for me and Ski, because you're just, like, running on fumes now.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Well, I do have a special feature in mind for our last episode, but that's not this week, that's not next week, but the week after that when we're...
I think I'm free that week.
Okay, good. I'm glad. That would be, I don't know. Part of me wonders, should I get your votes for the five? Well, no, I don't want to know. I want to know at the very end what you guys choose. But it would suck if one of you die and we couldn't finish it off properly.
Yeah.
So try not to do that if you don't mind.
Yeah.
I'll do my best. My eyes have been hurting lately, so you never know.
Yeah, it definitely could be one of those fast-acting brain tumors.
I'm kind of hoping. Yeah. You know.
Is your face hurt?
No, but it's hurting you, isn't it?
You know, normally I don't like it when Ski steps on a punchline, but in that case, I was well warranted.
By not giving me a chance to retort, you know, he just shaved like 4 seconds off our.
I mean, let's try again. So,
if we don't break the hour mark by 4 seconds,
right? Then it's all Ski's fault.
Exactly.
I'll take that on me. I mean.
Well, yeah, today we're going to be going over our Elite Eight, knocking it down to a final four episodes as we are closing in on determining the best episode of the whole series.
But we're talking about 16 episodes, right?
We're only talking about 8 episodes.
We talked about 16 last time.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah. Eight and eight.
Fucking math is hard.
Thank goodness you're not writing a math journal. Yeah, Brent revealed on our podcast, I think it was last week's episode, that he's in the process of writing a book right now, and so...
I finished my first draft.
Oh, did
That's
you?
Amazing.
Have you turned it in? To
no,
the...
no.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't owe them anything till the end of July, but I've got time budgeted to do a second and a third draft before I, you know, bother them.
Now, so. Once you turn this in, you turn it in, and then they review it, and then send it back to you for, like, a final draft at that point?
Yeah, they'll go through and, you know, suggestions, corrections, whatever, you know, whatever they see fit. If they're like, oh, this is a little weak or whatever. So, I mean, and it's one of those things that will just sort of go back and forth. I think, like, whatever comments they have, I think it's in the agreement that I've got, like, 2 weeks to react to them. And if I don't, then they're just going to replace their words with mine. Or
okay.
Vice versa.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, I mean, it's coming along and everything.
Well, that's very
that's
cool.
An exciting process, man. That's really very cool.
It's been interesting and everything, so.
Well, I know that you had revealed last week that that was part of the reason that you were looking for a little bit of a hiatus from the podcasting life.
Yeah.
So do you feel like that after you know, have that initial deadline, you'll be good? Or do you need to wait until the book is actually published and in the, you know, listeners' hands before you'd be ready to go again?
I need to wait till that first royalty check comes in, because then I'll know if I have a few money or not.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Fun fact, I will not.
Hope it's a
but the way I figure it though, if I sell one copy, I'll make more than I did off this podcast.
Listen, I think that Betty White book was like a $50 book, so as far as I'm concerned, your third of it is worth $17. Yeah. So you need to sell enough to me,
take it to Half Price Books and get me my $17.
Well, understand, Half Price Books would probably not give us the full value.
I'd like to see Alan take that book to Half Price Books and be like, yeah, can I get a 3 store credits of equal amount?
Yeah, and they're like, well, that's only going to be about $3.07 a piece. I'm like, sounds good to me, buddy.
Exactly.
We all get our paychecks.
Yep. And can you make those credits out to, you know, Sophia's Choice podcast?
Exactly.
All right. Well, so yeah, I will say that, you know, as we've been kind of going through this process of you know, doing things where it's a little bit less intensive on the research side and a little more kind of fun. It has kind of reinvigorated my desire to mm-hmm. do podcasting. Even though life has been a little more challenging, the podcast has actually been the lesser of the challenges in life, mm-hmm. whereas normally it's been far more of a time-consuming thing for me to prepare for episodes. So I will be looking forward to it when you get to a point where you're feeling good to podcast again. I do not believe my podcasting days are over, mm-hmm. and I don't think I'd want to podcast with anybody besides you two guys. Unless Pick Me comes available.
Exactly. Well, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's just, that's shooting pretty high.
Well, yeah.
Exactly. And once again, the podcast is a siren, not a succubus.
I do wonder, though, if whenever we reboot things and start, you know, whatever new podcast we would do or mm-hmm. pseudo-continuation of this podcast, I wonder if we would actually do better with promoting ourselves. There have been opportunities that there have been there that we could have, you mm-hmm. know, raised the bar a little bit, and we certainly haven't taken the opportunity to. I mean, Brent tried for a little while with the Instagram.
Yeah, he was doing really good.
Yeah, and then he kind of dropped out of that, mm-hmm. and Ski
never once.
Yeah, he doesn't even know what the internet is.
No, I still think you guys are making that up.
I'm just thankful because if Ski were to discover the internet, he would find so many people that share his same unpopular beliefs out there. I mean, it seems to be a real place for people to share their hatred of.
Exactly. He knows exactly one website, darkweb.com. Is that even it's probably not how you get there, is it?
No, I'm sure not. I don't think it'd be that seedy if it just was one click away. I think you had to put bit.ly slash darkweb.com.
I think it ends in .uk.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, the dark web is just anything on page 2 of Google search results.
Right. See, I think you're getting older because I think it used to be page 3 for you, but now you're like, nope, I've been burned by page 2 too many times. Exactly. If it's not in the top results, it's not worth my time.
Yeah, if they aren't paying to be there, they're not worth looking at.
Exactly. So today we got
I mean, that is a good idea as far as like a follow-up podcast, mm-hmm. like one of those true crime type podcasts.
Okay.
And it's like, what happened to Pick Me? And then the final episode, he's like, I just quit.
Yeah. Or the final episode, we're like, yep, and his podcast is still going. Exactly.
We found him. Thank you, algorithm.
It has been interesting because I know you two, you know, neither one of you have really followed along with anything, and obviously my primary promotional contributions have been just through updating the Facebook page, you know, with our weekly updates.
Yeah. Well, you've done a lot of responses too.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, just keeping up with that, but I haven't like gone out there to promote us per se. You know, just having a little bit of relationship, you know, customer relations or whatever is all. But yeah, I know. I don't think that either of you have probably ever gone out to search for other Golden Girl podcasts just to see how they're doing or whatnot. And
no, like every once in a while, one will be suggested to me, mm-hmm. you know, and I never followed them or listened to them or anything like that.
Yeah, see, I have this idea, and I think it would be a great idea, but maybe it wouldn't. Maybe they wouldn't choose us to be on there because of the fact that we would be, sort of promoting our own podcast in the process of appearing on a different podcast. Mm-hmm. But I think it'd be great for us to be on the Judge John Hodgman podcast because I have a very good litigation against both of you that neither of you have ever listened to an episode of our podcast, and he has never listened to a podcast, period, you know, in an effort to, improve. Exactly.
Like, add value to our... Our hard work.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So I think I'd have a good case to build against both of you in that. But neither of you... Well, Ski would probably be willing to go on it, but now we're so close to the end, it doesn't matter.
So what would this litigation be for? Like, are you suing us for damages that you perceive to our...
If Alan wins, we lose by having to listen to ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that would be, like, that's essentially what happens. Like, somebody will bring up...
Like, we pick up, basically, like, a winnings, like a penalty or something? Like,
I mean, you probably I wouldn't request monetary damages or anything of that nature. Yeah, it would be that he would probably order that you both listen to at least one episode of the podcast, an episode maybe of my choosing, because yeah. I wouldn't want to let you guys, I wouldn't want to force you guys to listen to like episode one, because we all were bad then, and now it's just you two.
No, I mean, so you're saying fair. I'm not in the running for most improved?
No, you're not, but that's probably because you were the best at the beginning, and... You know, we've caught up, but
so I'm most aggressed.
Yeah. Well, no, you're saying... aggressed. You're most. What would be the word for most
static?
Constant. Static. There you go. Perfect.
I'll say consistent.
No, actually, we've all improved over time. It's just like I said. I think that there may be some. I would be curious if you listen to yourself. You'd be like, oh man, I can't believe I say this thing or that I. As frequently, or I thought Alan was better at taking those out than he really is.
I like to think you're only removing your own.
Oh, yeah. No, when you listen to the podcast, the edited podcast, I sound like, you know, Chris Hardwick or somebody, like a Kevin Smith, a seasoned gotcha. Podcaster, yeah. And you both sound like country bumpkins that have never seen a microphone.
I think that's still pretty accurate.
Yeah. But, no, I don't know. Like I said, I think that we've all improved, but I would like it if you guys listen to an episode sometime in your lives.
Right.
Maybe down the road when you're old and feeble and you're like, I got to do something with my time.
Okay. Now, I have.
I'll make you a promise, okay? I will most definitely listen to an episode in my lifetime, you know, provided you die first. In lieu of a eulogy, I'd like to just play this podcast.
How would you guys feel about me? If I had, let's say that I got a disease to where I knew that I was going to die.
Like spinal meningitis?
Whatever the case may be.
Okay. That seems specific. And all of a sudden, he just threw that out there.
Like he has a plan.
or knowledge.
I was listening to Ween earlier.
Oh, okay.
Their song, Spinal Meningitis.
Fair enough. But
smile on mighty Jesus, spinal meningitis got me down.
I can see how that would be the case.
Yeah.
It's such a great. Well, it's even better because they sped up the tape, the vocals, so it sounds like a little kid singing it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, why am I going to die, mommy?
Oh, no.
Wow.
That's really dark.
It really is. It really is. Like, they've got some dark songs in their discography, and that's definitely up there.
Yeah, it has to be. Well, I was just going to say, how would you guys feel if whatever the disease, spinal meningitis or otherwise, that if, basically that I had time to prepare my wishes, and that my wishes was that at my funeral, in lieu of songs or whatever, they just played episodes of the podcast. That's what I wanted to be played throughout throughout the showing, is just back-to-back episodes of the podcast. Do you feel like you'd be okay with that? Or be like, yeah, I guess he thought these were really good, and so he wanted that out there, like a sense of humor, as opposed to...
Yeah. I would be like, you got it, buddy. That's what we'll do. And then I'd be like, he died like he lived. Believe in my lies.
And then as I get up there and I find out that you that you gave me the meningitis.
Test.
Yeah, we're good.
Brent dropped his mic.
Yeah. But not in a way of like, not that he said something great. He just legitimately dropped the mic.
In my defense, I was reaching for my beer.
Yeah, fair. All right, well, do you guys have any other things in your lives that you want to discuss before we do these matchups?
I do have something humorous that happened the other day.
Okay.
I was like, oh, maybe it'll come up organically, but now I was like, we're just sort of killing time up front right now, so I'll just go ahead and tell this little story. So my wife recently got a new job, and so she was explaining, so she has to go to the office, basically full time for the next month or so until she gets fully acclimated, and then she'll be like a hybrid thing. Somewhat remote, somewhat in the office. But the way the cubicles are set up is, it's like one of those like fishbowl type setups where you've got four cubicles sort of grouped together with like a little table in the center. And then there's just a series of those throughout the office floor plan. But she was sort of explaining to me and my youngest how it was laid out. And she's like, and there's me, and then there's this other lady, and there's this other lady, and then there's this guy, and we're there. And my youngest, curious minds want to know, asks the question. She's like, is this a guy like Daddy, or is this a guy like Uncle Jesse? And there was just so much to unpack in that question.
When she says Uncle Jesse, does he actually...
Like Full House Uncle Jesse?
Yeah, not Dukes of Hazzard Uncle Jesse.
Well, I know. I know there was actually a real Uncle Jesse in play.
No. So yeah, that... Like you said, that does have a lot of layers to it. Because, like, so basically it sounds like that's you know, what her first crush might be. Yeah. Is Full House Uncle Jesse. And then it kind of draws the question, too. Is she wondering if Uncle Jesse might become Daddy Jesse at some point? It's also weird to have your daughter ask you to essentially rate the attractiveness or whatever of of her coworker. So on a scale of 1 to 10, is this guy a dad or an Uncle Jesse?
Exactly. That's pretty fantastic.
How likely
actually
am I to get my allowance from him?
Well, I hope that you restricted the Full House watching after that.
I did. I was like, Fuller House or nothing.
Is Uncle Jesse in the Fuller House series?
I think he's just a guest star on a handful of episodes.
Yeah, okay.
He's got better things to do.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mr. Stamos has got a full schedule, right?
Exactly. And he's got a, you know, conjugal visit with Aunt Becky.
Yeah. There you go. God willing.
I think they released Aunt Becky early for good behavior or something like that. Yeah, so the streets are not safe.
The streets of UCLA.
Exactly.
There is no justice.
Yeah, I already told Gwen to just resign herself to some community college because with the Aunt Jesse or the Aunt Becky's out there, there's no way she's getting into a legitimate university.
I'm glad you threw the 1% under the bus.
Yeah.
Little does she know, you're the 1%.
Oh, I'm barely. I'm like the 2, maybe the 3.
Really?
No, not nearly. I feel like it goes by, you know, I don't think that I would be anywhere in the top 5%, top 10%. I don't know where we, because we are, I would say that we are squarely in the middle class, maybe like the, I think we're right in the middle class. Right dead in middle class. Yeah. So. Yeah. Where would you say you're at, Ski?
Oh, definitely lower class.
I don't think you're lower class.
We're not poverty stricken, but like, if you're like, you guys have got a decent amount saved away. My wife can't save. Well, not can't. Won't save. So
yeah, but aren't you allowed to save?
Oh yeah, but I mean no.
I mean, he hasn't seen his checkbook in years. He gets his $5 a week allowance.
I mean, if I hide it away, sure, but. She'll just find it again, you know?
I saw a meme a while back. It said,
"It's your worst joke."
It's one I'll ride all the way to the
I don't doubt it.
Yeah, ultimate episode.
Any future podcasts, it'll resurge, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Meme from me to you. Basically, it was like this dude who was saying, I just want to be rich enough that I'm not annoyed at the high price of beef jerky. And I think about that every time I go to the grocery store, pretty much. It's like, okay.
Some beef jerky is like, you know, it is a little pricey.
It is a little pricey, but it's like, I'm going to splurge. I'm going to treat myself. You know, it's like Nick and his guacamole.
I feel like I might be there. I feel like I'm to that point to where, because there's like things with this house renovation that, you know, has been part of it. Where
are you guys just... like a 1-for-1? Are you getting nicer cabinets or anything? Or?
For the most part, the things are just a 1-for-1.
Gotcha.
But like, there was one room that wasn't impacted, but we had carpet put changed in that room in the toy room area.
Gotcha.
Because it was in bad shape from the kids.
You're doing it anyway, right?
Yeah, exactly. And we're like, well, I mean, they're going to be out there. Well, then, you know, of course, the insurance isn't covering that part. Mm-hmm. And the guy was like, oh, okay, you know, he works up the numbers, and he's like, oh, it'll be $1,100 to do that room. Which, you know, I was like, yeah, it seems... it doesn't seem cheap, but I was like, I feel like we had carpet done like in our bedroom. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was right around the time the podcast started. It's about 4 years. I remember when we first started, we didn't have carpet in the basement for a short while because there was a little flood.
Right,
down there.
Yeah,
a
little leak.
So during that same time, we got that carpet replaced and then the carpet in our bedroom. Mm-hmm. And I was like, back then, it was like, $1,000, yeah, and now it's $1,100. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, it's a smaller space, but it's also a pandemic later.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's okay. Like, I'm not that. And she's like, well, I feel like you should talk to him about it. I'm like, sure, I'll talk to him about it, but I don't think anything's going to change. I don't think we're being gouged.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I'm at that point where I'm like, yeah, unless something's really outlandish, then I'm pretty much like, yeah, it's just life at this point.
Well, so, plus inflation. I imagine everything's gone up in price.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything went up quite a bit during and post-pandemic, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I'll buy some beef jerky without thinking second thought about it.
What kind of beef jerky do you get?
Probably the, I don't know, I'd have to, I feel like there is one kind in particular that I like. I like teriyaki flavor. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty good. I like just your normal old Slim Jims, too, which I don't know if you count that as beef jerky or not.
That's like a summer sausage.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah, like a cracked pepper, something like that is usually pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So something with the, not super spicy, but with a little bit of extra flavor to it.
Now, if you guys get a Slim Jim, each of you, would you say you snap into it?
I never eat a Slim Jim large enough to snap into it.
Alan doesn't eat anything larger than 2 inches.
Yeah. So you guys would still be on the plate. Now, you could take that if you're confident. You'd take that as because we're too large to eat, so we're still sitting on the plate. Or if you don't feel good about yourself, you're saying, oh, because I'm his next meal. Mm. So I guess you have to search within your own self as to where that comment falls.
I'll never tell. So but like, maybe my tears will.
So, like, if the three of us were in, like, a Donner Party type situation.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, we're going to Madison, Wisconsin to see Kevin Smith or something. We have a car wreck.
Right.
And it's like, oh, I guess we gotta, you know, eat somebody.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Do you think it would be fair and reasonable to just, like, each of us, like, hack off a leg and then pass it to the person to the left?
I don't know. I feel like if you're doing that, why don't you just eat yourself?
Well, no, because you can't eat yourself.
Oh, because that's just ridiculous.
Exactly.
That's a step beyond cannibalism.
Exactly. But like with our current like
auto cannibalism
situation, it's like, okay, well, I'd give my leg to Ski.
Is that what it's called, you think? Auto cannibalism? Because isn't that when you like do something to yourself?
Oh, like autoerotic asphyxiation.
Exactly,
or
like
whatever.
That. Except with eating yourself.
No, I mean, your proposal, I mean, maybe that would be for cannibalism, but your proposal, I can see the merit of it, but I think we would both just eat Ski.
Oh, yeah, that like, is true. I mean, that is true. At his insistence.
Yeah, exactly. He'd be like, no. I'd be like, I'm not even hungry yet. And he'd be like, I've already got the stall.
Exactly.
Start the fire.
It's just going to go to waste, guys.
Yeah. If you don't eat this leg, that animal will.
So I was like, exactly. I already called the AAA's on its way.
Exactly. And there's more.
We got snacks in the
go
trunk.
Around, so I invited friends over to help you.
Right. It's like, if you guys really care about my final wishes, then can you please spit roast me?
It's the only way to keep it juicy.
Exactly. You're just rotating there over the fire.
Exactly. He's like, yep, just, you know, put me on the rotisserie and just...
Now, would you
remember
do
my
the,
preference?
Would you do
you
the apple
stick,
in the mouth?
Two in the pink, one in the stink.
Oh. What pink?
I guess it'd be your mouth in this case, because we're going all the way through the body.
It's like my pee hole. It's like
I knew the joke I wanted. I just wasn't sure how to get there.
Yeah, you man,
close enough.
Yeah. It's one of those landings. Like, sure, maybe the wheel broke off on the plane, but all the passengers survived, so you're still a hero.
Yeah, the plane's likely salvageable.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, yeah, anyways. So, Ski, did you have anything you wanted to add before we go into the episodes?
Actually, yeah.
Okay.
So, this is actually something I wanted to bring up anyway. I was talking to Nicole either today or yesterday, I forget which. And she asked us kind of about how we've been doing the playoffs. And she asked if we had come up with our own bracketing system. Like each of us had like the final 20, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then kind of whittled it down how we would see it fit. And I was like, no, it's not how we decided to do it. We kind of talked about it a few times and you just kind of laying on our current methodology.
Right.
And she's like, well, would you like to do that kind of thing? I was like, that might be a fun little activity. So I know I told you guys I was hoping to have more time to do like a special activity, like a bonus content, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Since I don't have it prepared today, I could bring in something like next time where it's just like an empty bracket. And then we would like choose our own favorite, how we would see winning.
So it's kind of like watching Clue on VHS. It's like, and here's how it could have happened.
Yes, yes.
No, I'm okay.
To see if we come up with the same or different.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone on record as being like in the minority between you two. If somebody's that interested, they can just make up their own bracket. And, like, oh, Brent is the alternate timeline.
Well, because we've also got like the wild cards. If we go back that far, mm-hmm. and like, you know, because we've had mostly the same opinion on, I think, a lot of the stuff, haven't we?
Brent is like 5 for 8, I think, or something like that out of our choices. So, okay. Somewhere in
so
that
there's
ballpark.
Been some deviation, but yeah. Overall, like I would wonder if we all come up with the same final winner.
I think some deviation is my favorite Google review of this podcast.
Yeah, they talk about the Golden Girls with some deviation.
Slight.
Well, anyways, yeah. So I don't know. I would probably agree with Brent. I'll tell you what, if you were able to have it ready for the next episode we do, then I'd be all for it, but since you won't be able to have it ready for...
The one in 30 minutes?
Yeah. But since you won't quite be able to have it ready for that one, I've got something planned for our final episode.
So the next time we meet, that's it, right?
Yeah, that's it.
And the time after that will be for fun.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We'll see.
Whatever you constitute as fun, yeah.
I figure the time after that will be whenever we're ready to restart. That's why I'm trying to figure out, will I be seeing you in July, yeah. or will it be later than that?
Have you guys seen the preview for that movie, The Heretic?
No, I've
it
not.
It sounds familiar. I feel like maybe I have, but no. Off the top of my head, I'm not putting it together.
I'd like to see that one.
Okay.
Sydney Sweeney plays that, a nun.
Oh.
Is that an invite?
Movie? Yeah.
Okay.
Is that an invite? We want to go see it together?
I think that might be creepy. I think that's a movie we should all watch individually at home alone.
In the dark?
Well, Brent has already expressed his fondness for Sydney Sweeney, so I think
she's
what
a good-looking
saying...
chick.
She's a fine young lady, and she's 27, which is just
care.
A hair outside, you know, the acceptable range.
Yeah.
I think the audience knows my stance.
Age plus 7, I think, is 29, and she's 27.
I think you're doing your math poorly at this point.
47? What's half of 47?
23 and a half.
And then plus 7?
30.
30 and a half?
Yep.
Okay, so she's 3.5 years outside the range.
Yeah.
It is a little awkward.
Eventually you'll get there. Like, when you're 50, and that'd be 25 plus 7, so 32. Yeah, she still won't be there yet. You'd have to be around 60 before that half plus 7 is going to work out for you. Okay. But you'll get there, maybe. Okay.
So here's something that I have mixed feelings about.
Okay.
Have you seen that... perfume commercial with Natalie Portman?
I think I have.
And it's a really nice commercial, and I really enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
But the perfume that she's advertising is a Miss Dior.
Okay.
And I just think she's a little old in the tooth to be a Miss Dior.
Ah, so you think that she should be...
Madame Dior?
Yeah, or Ma'am Dior.
Exactly.
Maybe it's Miss
like,
only in that...
She looks like somebody much younger than she is,
mm-hmm.
but I just think Miss, that's something that once you're past your mid-30s, it's a stretch,
okay.
You know, and I'm sure she's at least 40-something now.
But, I mean, isn't Miss just someone who's not married, and now that she's no longer married,
oh,
she'd be
true.
Miss again?
Oh, I don't think you get it back.
Oh, so you don't think that? So you think she should still be Mrs. Dior?
Yeah. Like I think it goes Miss, and then once you're married, you know, you're a Mrs. And then like if you're no longer married, I think at best you can go Ms. You know.
Okay, fair enough. Don't you someday dream of the day someone calls you Sir without adding you're making a scene?
Exactly.
What about please leave? or some iteration like we'd like you to leave.
Yeah, exactly.
Or
yeah.
The cops are on their way.
Were you about to say something else too, Brent?
Yeah, I don't remember what it was though, so
okay. We can move
on. Was it still along the lines of Ms., Miss or Mrs.?
Oh no. As far as my etiquette goes, that's as far as I know.
Okay.
I don't know much, but
all right. Well, then I guess we're ready to jump into our matchups. So I think Ski's going to do some mini recaps for our first four episodes, or the first two matchups, if you will.
Okay.
And then Ski or Brent's going to do some mini recaps for our other four as we knock these eight episodes down to four.
Soldier forward, right?
Exactly, yeah. We got a couple tough ones in this this week's episode, I think.
Well, if we count our wild card, this is round three, right? Mm-hmm. And we're down to the Elite Eight. Okay. The first matchup, we have the first seed versus the ninth seed, which transferred over from our previous wins. First seed is Season 7, Episode 25, One Flew Out of the Cuckoo's Nest, Part 1. And if you guys remember, this is the very end of Season 7, which was essentially the end of Golden Girls.
Right.
It was like one episode after that.
Well, yeah. It's, well, did we, I think if we remember, like, they actually aired on the same day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was part one and two, probably like a commercial break or something.
Yeah, like an hour long finale.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which was fitting, I think. Mm-hmm. All right, the quick synopsis is Blanche gets asked out by a rando on the same day her Uncle Lucas is visiting. She tricks both Dorothy and her uncle into going on a blind date together, falsely telling each that they are excited to meet the other. They are bored on the date but discover the ruse. They bond over the issue and vow revenge on Blanche in the form of pretending that they are in love and getting married. Blanche is not cool with this, but the act they put on is quite convincing. Rose decides to move in with her horrible daughter, as she'll be the only one of the girls not related to the by family. Sophia cosplays the Old South while prepping for dinner. And in the midst of all this, Dorothy and Lucas actually do fall in love, and he then actually proposes at the end. She says yes, again, and the girls are all left confused.
Yeah, very good, very good. I mean, it's a great episode. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is. There's not much not to like about that episode.
It's definitely one of my very favorites.
And I think we discussed this before when it was in a previous matchup, but one thing I think is really solid about it is the fact that they, even though it's a part one of two, it really does stand alone pretty well on its own. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, you do want to see, do they go through with the wedding and all that.
Yeah.
But it's it gives you a beginning, middle, and end, even though it's a part one.
I agree.
So,
okay. I like one of the favorite parts of the episode is they're at the on their date, right?
Yeah.
And they get the little, because it's like a crab shack, essentially, right?
Yeah.
And they have these those silly bibs with, like, the googly eyes on the crab.
Yeah.
And then she says, you know, I never felt silly or something until now when she gets the bib on. He says, wait till they bring out the pants.
Yeah.
And she's like, you're joking. And he's like, somebody has to. And I think that's where it all, like, that kicks off the episode for me. That's where the best parts of it begin.
There's two other little moments in there that I like. You know, he has, like, the lobster hammer.
Uh-huh.
And he, like, taps himself on the knee.
Yeah.
And I just got a kick out of that. I was like, oh, I'm sure that was a Leslie Nielsen ad lib or whatever. Yeah,
very possible.
And then there was the bit where Dorothy was talking about Sophia, and she, like, starts slamming the lobster with the hammer.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to back myself up just a smidge. Okay. I think where the comedy really begins was when Dorothy comes out and Blanche is trying to convince her to go on this date.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, is this Dorothy or... who was it? Sophia Loren or...
yeah, from her...
morning toilette.
Yeah.
Emerging from her morning toilette.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just really good writing on that episode.
Yeah, it really is. It's solid. They saved a really good one to end the series on. Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, and that was matched up against ninth seed, which is Season 6, Episode 9. Our only 69 for the group here.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. George Devereaux, which is kind of befitting, right? Blanche has a secret admirer that sends a flower shop essentially to her house.
Mm-hmm.
The whole kitchen is filled with flowers. You're right, Brent.
I think the follow-up podcast should just be a Freudian examination of Ski's recaps.
Yeah. I think that you would be woefully inaccurate if you thought any of these were Freudian slips. These are,
he says,
all
analysis.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is Ski very intentionally. There's no part of him. He is not repressed.
There might be one or two slips.
He could use some repression. He's repressed in other ways, but as far as, like, his love of a sexual pun, that's not one of them.
Gotcha.
Well, maybe in front of my daughter, I would not be so free of saying it, but...
I mean, that's true, but...
essentially, on the microphone, I'm talking to anybody who's willing to listen, and they've got the warning.
Exactly. It is an explicit podcast. We're right up front with that.
So, yeah, Blanche has a secret admirer who sends a whole bunch of flowers. Dorothy has two famous admirers that she had met at dinner theater, Sonny Bono and Lyle Waggoner. The girls accompany Blanche to meet her mystery man, who turns out to be her supposedly dead husband, George. He tells her that he staged his death to avoid being framed with embezzlement charges. He tells Blanche also that he regrets it, misses her, and wants her back in his life. They kind of have some, you know, back and forth on that. Ultimately, Blanche hugs George and then wakes up from a dream. The girls check into the room when she wakes up. She tells them about the dream. I guess it's a recurring dream she's had.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't ever get to hug him, right? This time she did. She lets Dorothy know that this time she chose Sonny out of the two, and she's happy to hear this. And then she tells all of them and George good night. Thoughts, notes?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I was letting Brent, I was waiting for Brent, but I'll chime in here.
You chime in first, please.
Okay. I think this is one of the, you know, a very sweet episode for sure. It's a little heartbreaking in a way, too, you know, that she wakes up, but at the same time, you know, it's a, I don't know. I like that it really does have the silliness of the dream aspect of it with Sonny Bono and,
Lyle.
Yeah, Lyle Waggoner. Uh-huh. You know, it was great that they could work in this goofy kind of B story with the other storyline that was part of the dream.
So here's my problem with it.
Okay.
Everything that we see on screen, I'm on board with. Okay. It's what happens off screen that sort of just rubs me the wrong way.
Okay.
You know?
Do tell.
Because, like, so basically, at some point, you know, after the fact, you know, they're sitting around and they're talking about this, you know, recurring dream that Blanche has had, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the Goldens are all sitting there and, you know, Stan's sitting there as well. And he's like, oh, fake my own death in order to avoid Johnny Law. That's a good idea.
So you think that this is the seed that planted in his head?
Exactly. Like, Stan never had an original thought in his life.
I don't know. I didn't know this where you were going to go with it. I didn't know if it was going to be like, yeah, behind the scenes, we got tall-ass B. Arthur boning little Sonny Bono, and that just doesn't seem right.
The rule is half your height plus 7 inches.
And then you're okay.
Exactly.
So as long as B. Arthur is not with, like, a little person, then she's good to go.
Exactly. Her and Billy Barty. That's an abomination.
When he says plus 7 inches, that's not what he means. He's good.
Half your height plus 7 inches, so it's okay if they're half your height as long as they have a 7-inch member.
Yeah. That's...
Kind of curious as to who doesn't.
only the poor unfortunate souls, Brent.
I didn't know they came smaller than 11.
You've seen your fair share.
Every time I look down, that's my fair share.
I would say the same is true for me. Every time you look down.
He's been lying in wait for 4 years for that joke.
That was solid. That was one of your best intentional jokes of the podcast.
Saving the best for last. Yeah. You know?
Well, very good. Yeah, I was trying to come up with the joke there, but you topped whatever I would have come up with. So well done, Ski. Well done. All right. Well, so did you have anything else to add about that episode or the prior one?
No, just my preference or whatever.
Well, I will give my vote first on this one. To me, this wasn't too difficult of a choice. Don't get me wrong. Mrs. George Devereaux's the best Blanche-centric episode, I would say, hands down.
It really was. As far as Blanche-centric episodes go, it's the one that puts her in the best possible light.
Yeah, for sure. But that said, I don't know, there's almost nothing to dislike at all about One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, part one. I just think it's really good from start to finish. You could say that maybe it starts off a little slow, but the morning toilet joke is a really good one. Yeah. And they don't take too long getting into, you know, the funny with that episode. And so that'd be the only minor complaint I have. But that is not enough at all to not have it be my victor. So, so for me, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, part one gets my vote for this matchup. How about you? Do one of you two want to chime in next or ski? What's your opinion on it?
So I would say, generally speaking, I dislike the whole premise of the whole episode was a dream. But I think that Miss George Devereaux pulled it off well.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I agree with almost everything you said earlier. I went with season 7, episode 25 as well, like Cuckoo's Nest. I thought it was definitely one of it for me. It's a finals episode.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So Brent, your vote is inconsequential, but we'd still like to hear it.
Okay. Well, as the libertarian, I guess I will say.
Get your Green Party vote?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's like Cuckoo's Nest Part One. I was like, you know, that one won the Emmy for outstanding technical direction, camera, video for a series, and it'd be presumptuous of me to tell the Academy they're wrong.
I would have been surprised if any of us didn't go for that one.
Yeah. Well, technical direction, I mean, there's nothing that says great comedy episode like the, the technical direction of it. Yeah, but so, all right, we got our first one in the final four, so that's and a clean sweep, so that makes it... you know, a pretty
convincing win.
Exactly. That's what I was looking for. So, Ski, you want to do our next set of
contestants? The next lineup was Seed 12 versus Seed 4, which seems lopsided. But Seed 12 was Season 1, Episode 25, The Way We Met, which was definitely one of our guys, which was one of our favorites. Fourth seed is Season 3, Episode 13, The Artist. I'll go in with The Way We Met. The girls are all on edge after watching Psycho. The movie, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
They reminisce about how they all met while feasting on cheesecake one night. Blanche met a ditzy but kind Rose while posting a room for rent at the supermarket. She then met Dorothy and Sophia while interviewing for a second roommate. Dorothy then met Rose on move-in day. She was instantly condescending to her, but they ultimately became friends. They did have a bad shopping experience involving a loin of pork, but they later bonded over their very first cheesecake together and the telling of a very funny St. Olaf story. I think about herring, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe so.
They all laughed, and Sophia then busts in at the end and scares them all, wielding a very sizable knife.
Yes. Yeah, a really solid episode. Again, I would say, in this case, in my opinion, easily the best of all the clip show episodes that they did.
Yeah.
Obviously, there were a couple actual clip show episodes. Mm-hmm. They weren't like vignettes, but vignette episodes, I guess, would be a better term. But yeah, really solid, I think, as far as an origin story goes. It was a really good one.
Yeah.
The only minor complaint I'd really have about this one would probably be it could have used a little more Sophia.
Mm. Yeah.
She was pretty light in this
episode. I do like that they brought Sophia in when she met Dorothy.
Yeah, yeah. They did try to get her in there some. It's just... You know, she was in there probably the least of the four.
I agree.
And
I mean, the only person who had less screen time would be Coco.
Yeah. Well, apparently
that would be my one gripe, is that they don't ever talk about Coco.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a good time to bring him back.
It would have been kind of funny if they were like, oh, I remember that guy that used to live here.
So just another very special episode, this time about dreamers.
Right.
Well, I mean, if they were going to write him off the show, it would have been a nice callback.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. So.
All right. And then the fourth seed, as I said, is season 3, episode 13. The Artist, elder Hungarian sculptor Laszlo, drives Blanche home from the museum one day. He greets the girls, but then departs shortly thereafter, revealing that he has an appointment with Blanche. The girls assume that this is a date, but she explained that she has been posing nude for his next sculpture. He later kind of cons both Rose and Dorothy into doing the same. They confront him when they all discover this subversion. He says that he'll pick none of them, but that he already has enough reference material to complete his statue. At the unveiling, he explains that to the bickering girls, who are kind of arguing over who the statue is made from, he explains that the statue is a combination of all their best traits.
You drew from all the pages in the Spank Bank.
Right. Well, to that end, they want to know if he finds any of them romantically appealing, but we discover that he's into dudes, and he assumed they knew.
Doesn't. Could be bi.
That's a fair point, but he never states that he is interested in any of them.
Yeah, that's true.
Beyond, you know, as a subject matter for his culture.
He's just going to let one of them turn him.
Right? Each of them gets their shot, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, another solid episode. You know, really good as far as, solid comedy. You know, they did a good job with the whole aspect of, you know, each girl not knowing that the next girl had been given a key to his apartment, which is pretty great.
Yeah.
Again, a little bit, I don't know, maybe not light on the Sophia, not as light as the last episode, but obviously
she should have been in play. It's one of the four models.
I think that would have been funny, honestly. Yeah. Like if she would have pulled out that key at the end too, you know, like if he was describing the statue at the end and then we find out, it's like, well, but who inspired this aspect? And then Sophia pulls her key out. I think that would have been really funny.
That would have been,
I think it would have been better if, you know, like they would have gone through the whole thing. You know, and then he like takes off the tarp, and then the statue's like 3.5 feet tall.
Looks dead up like Sophia.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That would have been a pretty good ending. That honestly, yeah. Actually, I'm sorry I didn't even talk about the B story on that one, did I? And Sophia's in the midst of a prank war with a guy. At her, was it the senior center or something?
Mm-hmm. Was it Milton Bill?
I don't remember the guy's name.
Yeah, not a great B story. It just made Sophia seem mean, honestly, because she kept trying to pull pranks on Dorothy, or kept successfully pulling pranks on Dorothy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was glad that at least the B story was Sophia heavy, just not my favorite Sophia
story. Very much wanted to leave earlier than I did and swing by, like, Dollar Tree to see if they had a whoopee cushion. Because I remember last time we talked about the artist, you like, do you know of anyone who's ever successfully been able to play a whoopee cushion prank on someone?
Yeah.
And I was like, if I got here soon enough, I could put the whoopee cushion under the cushion that you're sitting on and maybe succeed and then remind you of that.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that it didn't work out for you.
Well, you know, maybe one day.
You got one more week.
Well, I'm guessing. No, actually, before I say anything, what are you guys' picks? Do you want to go first this time, Mr. Brent?
Sure. So, yeah, I went with the artist. You know, I got to give it up for Laszlo. You know, the Hungarians need a win.
So that's what wins it for you is Laszlo? Because the Hungarians needing to win is what swayed you?
Exactly.
Well, I'll give my vote next because it is it will make Ski's vote count no matter what. Because,
okay.
I like the way we met better. My one, like I said, my one issue is not enough, Sophia, but the other one, the extra Sophia wasn't a Sophia I particularly liked.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think had they gone the other direction on it, or like I said, add that little joke in the end, maybe that would have swayed me on the artist. But overall, I just really liked the way we met. I thought it was just a great vignette episode. So Ski, it all comes down to you. Who is moving into the final four in this
part? I went with Way We Met as well.
Nice. Still undefeated.
I thought even though it was the lower seed, I very much liked it over the artist.
I like the fact that you put importance on the seeds. I think that's funny to me.
Yeah.
Well,
I have no frame of reference.
Yeah.
Well, so fair enough. But I mean, that's kind of how we scored them, right?
Yeah, I mean,
they got into this list to begin with. So I like to at least give that context, just saying, hey, this is how, you know, when we put our pieces of, you know, cake out there.
Pie. So cheesecake, pie. You're right. Now, what am I saying?
But we have our cheesecake.
But you're right, though. Cheesecake is pie. We've been over this.
Oh, that's right, yeah. In Brent's opinion.
So,
exactly. It's cream cheese pie. Taking it back.
However you guys out there want to denote it, you know, I support both.
Okay.
Because it definitely is pie-like, but
it is
called
pie.
Cheesecake.
It's a crust with filling. That is a pie, my friend.
You know what? I'm not going to argue. It's called cheesecake, though. So, you know, you can argue that with whoever you want.
Sounds like who I want to argue with is you.
Well, then I guess I'm wrong. You can't argue with me because I don't care.
Names don't mean anything.
Okay.
Lots of things have a name that has nothing to do with what they actually are.
Facts are meaningless. They can be used to prove anything.
Exactly.
I will say this much.
Okay.
A ladybug can be either a boy or a girl.
Exactly. Yeah.
But in today's culture, it seems like anyone can be. So.
Well, I'm not following you down that path.
Yeah. Yeah, that seemed like Grandpa Ski just reared his ugly head.
It really did. I was debating whether or not to use honky as an example.
Go for it. Say honky. That's a good one. Stupid white folk.
Once in a while. Once in a while, Ski says a thing where I'm just like, I don't know if he's being jokey or serious or if there's something more to this or if it's just a connotation. Mm-hmm. And then I think, at least in a recorded format, we should just move along. Because there's at least the possibility I would not like the answer.
Exactly. This is going on your permanent record.
Yeah. Those kids these days. So, all right. Well, we got two of our final four episodes. One Flew Out of the Cuckoo's Nest, Part 1, as well as The Way We Met. All right, Brent, so you ready to start us off with our next group or our next matchup?
Yeah, yeah. So this week I thought we'd go ahead and debut a new feature.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm going to go ahead and call it I Ain't Mad, Lib. So I'm going to ask
Do you like? I think it's funny, but at the same time, didn't Ski attempt to do a Mad Lib like last week?
And I know of.
I feel like he did, and I don't feel like it went well. So I'm curious how this will go.
I'm pretty sure I was berated.
I'm almost wondering if he kept your thing from last week and is now using it to directly make fun of you.
Oh, I hope so.
So I'm going to ask Alan and Ski to provide me with a few words on a rotating basis.
Okay.
And then I'll add their words to some text that I pre-printed. And then I'll read the consolidated response to you, our long-suffering audience.
All right.
So who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay. So I'm going to need a noun.
A noun? Okay. I'm going to say, I'll go back to my young days. I'll say turd.
Ski, I'm going to need an adverb.
Let's go with audacious.
Doesn't adverb have L-Y at the end?
Audacious. Audaciously, sorry, yeah.
Okay. Can I get an adjective, Alan? An
adjective. How about sweaty?
All right, and then I'm going to need a noun, Ski.
Pandora, the planet.
And then can I get a noun, Alan?
Oh, I'll go with Zborny.
I want to make sure I can read my handwriting, so I'm going to try Pandora again.
Okay.
No, I'm not trying to throw you off.
So, Ski, can I get a verb?
What's the verb of tracheotomy? Like, to tracheate?
Trache? I guess to trache somebody. Yeah. That's how we would say. Like, I trached him. I mean, I poked a hole in his throat. So,
okay. Can I get a noun, Alan?
Let's see. I'm going to go with... Shady Pines.
Also, I want to correct myself. I think Pandora is actually a moon.
Oh, that's right. I think you're right.
Yeah, too late. And then can I get a verb, Ski?
Run. I did weird ones before.
And Alan, can I get an adjective?
An adjective. I'm going to go with crippled or cripplingly, if that works better.
Okay. Can I get a noun, Ski?
White House.
And then can I get a noun, Alan?
A burrito.
It's a good one. It's a good one. If it's not too big, because you can't eat all that.
Can't eat a 43-foot one. Can I get a noun?
Maybe you can't.
Another noun. We'll see. DVD box set.
And can I get a proper noun, Alan?
Okay, proper noun. I'll go with Pandora, the box.
Good game. Good answer. Good answer.
And then can I get a noun, Ski?
I like the word Nounsky. Can we say... No, we'll say Kia Sorrento.
I wish you would have gone with Pandora, the jewelry. Okay. All
right. That's I like that, too.
So now that I've collected your words, okay, I've added them to my prepared text here. And let's see what we've come up with.
Nice.
Okay. Thank you for being a turd. Traveled down the road and back audaciously. Your heart is sweaty.
You're a Pandora and a Zborny. And if you trake a shady pine, invite everyone you run, you would see the crippled White House would be from Burrito. And the DVD box set would say, thank Pandora the Box for being a Kia Sorento.
Very you know, nice, that right? was better than I hoped.
Yeah, well done. First,
so what I was actually hoping at first, though, was that you were just going to read whatever you had written down already and disregard all of our answers. And that was going to be the bit.
It's like I wordsmithed it a bit.
Yeah.
Because I think what you really meant to say was.
So, very nice. I enjoyed that.
That was that good, feature. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So do you have another feature before you do your recaps, or do you want to...
No, I'm not. I have another one for later in the episode.
Oh, okay. Nice. Sorry.
All right. So for my, battleground here, we've got Season 7, Episode 24, Home Again, Rose, Part 2. And that was the one where Kirsten showed up and made the hospital's billing department look good by comparison. And it's taking on a Season 3, Episode 1, Old Friends. And that was the one where Jenny Lewis shows up and steals Rose's teddy bear. And also Sophia's friend Alvin shows up and steals a page out of our playbook. That's the one about how, you're here for a long time, not a good time.
So cruel.
When you say so cruel, do you mean Brent or life itself?
Both, but Brent is life itself.
Exactly.
Well, so I'm going to give a little more color to Brent's recaps. So the Home Again Rose part two, Rose has a heart attack, is in the hospital. Her daughter is awful.
Kirsten, yeah.
Yeah, Kirsten's awful. And, but then eventually comes around after,
comes due.
Yeah. More or less, well, really. Yeah. Like when they start talking about the money and they're like, oh, we'll hop out. She's like, oh, you guys aren't so bad after all.
Right.
Exactly. Maybe there's something to this friends thing.
Yeah.
I've always shunned other people.
Exactly. Yeah. I think her husband dodged a bullet when he left.
Right.
Yeah. As no one found my, my grating personality appealing enough to stick around. Except for my kindly mother.
Right.
Exactly. Who's a saint.
And then old friend, Sophia makes a new friend on the boardwalk, a man named Alvin.
Yeah.
But we discover as the episode goes on that Alvin has dementia or Alzheimer's. I can't remember.
Alzheimer's, yeah.
Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. And by the end of it, I think, he basically moves away. But it's a, very, heartfelt type aspect of the episode. And then the B story of that one is, as Brent alluded to... a teddy bear of Rose's gets given away to, what do they call the Sunshine Cadets?
Yeah.
Played by Jenny Lewis. And
she
ransoms the bear off once they realize how much it means to Rose.
Yeah. So. I mean, I guess just to piggyback off your more robust recap. So Alvin, they decide that, he's got Alzheimer's.
Right.
It's like, okay, obviously, he can't get the care he deserves here in this red state, so they ship him back to a blue state.
was Florida a red state back then, you think?
Let's see, that would have been around the George
Early
Bush
90s.
Times, right? Yeah, so probably so. That was probably the one that won George Bush the election over Al Gore, right? That was like one of the closest.
I think that was 8 years later in 2000.
Oh, you're right, yeah. But
that was sad.
Yep. So, yeah, that would have been Bill Clinton time then, right? 92, so.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm not sure who they would have gone with that year. That'd be interesting. Bill Clinton was pretty popular president. So.
Yeah, he was. Old Slick Willie.
Yeah.
He had an answer for everything.
Always with the smooth talk.
Exactly. I always said that Kodos is the poor man, Slick Willie.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought.
He does have one eye.
Yeah.
Ski's on fire tonight.
Yeah.
Ski's got 4 years of material. He's just banked.
So what you're saying is that the last many years I've contributed zero jokes. And then the ones from today are at least mildly entertaining.
Exactly. Exactly. If we do another podcast, I'm just going to tell everybody on episode one, stick with us for 4 years because the gold is coming.
Yeah, just when we thought our chances passed, he went and saved the best for last.
Exactly. Exactly. You're going to wonder about him for 48 months, but.
Says, man, why do they keep dragging him along?
Right. Well, I thought... Both really solid episodes again. Yeah. Home Again Rose, probably one of the most heartfelt episodes of the entire series as far as, you know, I mean, it's kind of funny as we talked about Mrs. George Devereaux having the dream sequence, mm-hmm. but Home Again Rose is one of the funniest dream sequences, I would say, you know, with
it
them.
It did.
The heads on the platter.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Futurama type heads on a platter. Mm-hmm. And then we find out that in the future, in this dream state that, Sophia has gotten a young body, which I thought was, you know, pretty funny, especially since she's younger than I think two of the three Golden Girls anyway. But
been funnier if she got Jenny Lewis's body.
Yeah. Her body's not much bigger. Yeah. So, you know, the one downside with that episode is just Kristen.
Kristen.
I understand that they needed, you know, something to, I don't know.
Catapult the... I don't know, the tension, maybe?
Yeah, I guess. I don't understand
why
it was...
She's the villain of the piece.
Yeah.
She definitely is. Yeah.
I don't necessarily know that that was necessary, I guess, now that I even say it out loud, but...
But it's one of those things. It's like they already have the best possible villain, Death.
Right.
And they're like, how can we double down? I know, we'll bring back Kristen.
Right.
Let's make her real mean to him.
Exactly.
For no benefit.
Exactly. Or maybe they were like, you know, we got to find a reason as to why, you know, Rose was home alone on her birthday.
There we go.
We'll make her daughter a horrible person.
Yeah.
That'll make it all make sense.
Yep. Questions answered, right?
Exactly.
But yeah, that's my only real issue. Otherwise, I think it's a really great episode. And then when it comes to old friends, again, a really solid episode overall. I thought that the B story was one of their best B stories ever. Honestly, it was like a 1A, it was like an A1, A2 type story, as far as how much.
Yeah, because they had to devote a lot of time to it.
Yeah, and it was really solid.
One of Rose's best performances in Stealing the Bear Back.
Yeah, I think either of those two storylines could have carried the full 25 minutes or whatever.
Yeah,
It was just an embarrassment of riches.
And it's just tough. I love that one scene in Home Again Rose Part 2, you know, the heads on the plate.
Yeah.
And I also really like the scene where they're singing the beer. And so it ended up making a really difficult decision between the two. So I'm going to hold my vote. I want to hear what you guys think. So, Brent, who did you choose out of the... I know who you chose, but I'll ask anyway.
Who do you think I chose?
I'm sure you chose Jenny Lewis and Old Friends.
I did. I chose Old Friends. Estelle Getty won a Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series, and the episode itself won the Emmy Award for Outstanding Technical Direction, Camera, and Video for a Series. And I ain't going to second-guess the Academy.
Did you see it? Technical Direction again,
yep,
Al.
Again, yeah. He just knows.
You already told us that was the defining factor.
Right.
So whatever your vote, you have to vote that way now.
Yeah. I don't always side with the Academy. Well, I guess it depends upon which Academy we're discussing.
Mm.
Like, I boycotted the Oscars this year.
Oh, did you? Yeah. How often have you boycotted the Oscars?
Every year my write-in campaign for Ocean's 12 doesn't gain traction.
Ridiculous, am I right?
Exactly.
You're saying, sir, it didn't come out this year.
Makes no, never mind. It's timeless.
So I had begged to differ. I watched it on streaming just the other day.
They re-released it in my living room.
Exactly.
I had my annual watch party.
Clooney, Pitt, Damon Wayans, or Damon, or Matt Damon?
Damon Wayans, yes.
I
Do you think
myself.
The Ocean's movies would be better or worse if Damon Wayans had the Matt Damon role?
Oh, definitely worse.
I don't know. How about if it was Sean Wayans?
That's a little...
And he's in the little man makeup.
If it was Keenan, if it was Keenan Ivory Wayans, then I think it might elevate it. But I don't know. But so, Skia, out of those two, who got your vote? Old Friends or Home Again Rose Part Two?
I went with Old Friends. Hmm. I thought that was the of the two. I just liked it better. As sweet as the Rose episode was, and that was a two parter. I really liked that too. But I love the storyline with Alvin, and I think the thing with Rose snatching out the bear, that's one of my favorite Rose moments.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, this was the toughest of our three or our four matchups for me to vote. I mean, I actually went back and forth on it, and even today, even now, I was questioning, but ultimately, it's a sweep. We all went with the... went with Old Friends.
He says that now so he can keep his perfect record.
I mean,
if he'd have gone first, he may have lost his perfect record.
Oh,
he's like, I'm going to see how the tide goes on this one.
Plot thickens, you say.
Exactly.
Honestly, it was the B story that swayed me. Like, I think that the
which do you consider the A and the B?
Well, I consider, since the name of it is Old Friends, I consider the A story to be Sophie and Alvin, but. But yeah, like I said, both are really strong stories by themselves.
I would also argue that Rose's bear was an old friend.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, I didn't think about that. That ties in. So no B story in this episode, just double A's.
Now you're infringing upon skis.
like some really reliable batteries.
Sure.
Double A's.
Yeah, whatever you say, buddy.
All right, we got one more matchup, so another clean sweep, and Alan's perfect record stays unblemished.
Hey, just to chime in, this is another time when, based on the seeds, the lower seed won.
Oh, okay.
Because Old Friends was the sixth seed, whereas, what was the other one?
Home Again Rose Home Part 2.
Was the third.
I thought it was interesting that Home Again Rose Part 2 and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest Part 1 are back-to-back episodes.
Yes.
So really,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah, shows how good they were getting there at the end. But, I mean, not that they weren't good all throughout, but they really saved some good ones for the...
I do like that in the Elite Eight, we have an episode from Season 7, 6, 1, 3, another 7, another 3, 8, and 6.
Mm-hmm. So there's...
Yeah, I did think like all the seasons were represented. Like,
Well, and that was partly by design when we did it.
Right. Yeah, because we pulled two from each season and then our wild cards.
But I even whittling down though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Brent, do you want to give us a
final
recap for?
Not quite yet. I do have a something.
Oh, one more special feature for this episode. Very nice.
Since you mentioned, it's the penultimate episode.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to go in and revisit one of our more popular features
in
the past. Okay. I ain't mad, Lib.
Last time that was on, it was really quite a catch.
Yeah.
For those of you who
fan favorite
heard this feature before, it's the one where I collect some words from Alan and Ski and then apply those words to some text that I prepared ahead of time. And if you know those two, hilarity will ensue. Which of you went first last time?
I went first last time.
Okay, so Ski, you can go first this time. Can I get a noun?
Geico Gecko. I was inspired by your, was your daughter's painting over there?
Yeah. It's businessman lizard.
Okay.
Mm. Can I get a noun, Alan?
Anus. I was inspired by your anus.
water everywhere. I don't quite know what that means. But I think it's funny.
Yeah, I agree.
Can I get another noun, Ski?
Living tribunal.
Can I get a proper noun, Alan?
All right, I'm going to go with Charles Nelson Reilly.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Cassidy and I used to do that. when we tell the joke.
Oh, did you? Yeah. That's great.
Steve, can I get a proper noun from you?
Let's say you got your Stan Lee over there. Let's go Stan Lee. Okay.
Can I get a proper noun from you, Alan?
Oh, boy, these proper nouns. I'll go with Priscilla Presley.
Lucas Hollingworth's co-star from Naked Gun. Have you guys seen the new Priscilla movie?
Uh-uh.
No. I've not watched it. It's on the HBO Max.
I'd like to see it. I'd like to see the Elvis movie first.
Oh, it's so amazingly good.
I actually saw that one in the theater with Brent and Helena.
It's really good.
And Sherry. And then we had ice cream afterwards.
At, at the Sugar Cake Factory or Sugar Factory or whatever.
Yeah, whatever it's called. Yeah. It was good. It was, you know, it was overpriced as you'd expect, but, you know, it was a fun atmosphere. It was, you get what you pay for, exactly. I'd say, with the atmosphere plus the food was solid.
So. Agreed.
And a good movie, you said, right?
Hmm?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And even better company.
Exactly.
I'm for Brent.
Exactly. It's one of those things that there's nothing quite like watching a man die of a morbid obesity than following it up with some ice cream.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. And blowing one out on the toilet. Exactly. In tribute. In tribute.
Exactly. Who gave me Priscilla Presley? Did you?
Yeah.
You? Okay, Ski, can I get a proper noun from you?
Man. And in fact, to cover it with man, I'll say Manny Faces from He-Man.
Oh, gotcha. All right. And then one last proper noun from Alan.
Okay. I'll go with Sophia Loren from her morning toilet. Are you going to read it or just reading it to yourself?
He's reading to himself.
And we're over here enjoying. Thinking, like, man, he can really read.
Okay. I was just double checking. All right. Y'all ready for this?
Yes, bump sir.
On it. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so Geico Gecko holds a grand opening celebration to improve business. Anus has been invited to Charles Nelson Reilly to cover the event. Charles Nelson Reilly has arranged for famous food critic Stan Lee to review Geico Gecko.
You have screwed yourself on this one. There's a lot of callbacks.
Presley despises Stan Lee for previously giving him a bad review. When Stan Lee is found dead, Priscilla Presley worries that he may have accidentally put Living Tribunal in Charles Nelson Reilly's meal.
You need a proper noun for rat poison?
Anus arrives and
good for
Stan
anus.
Lee is hidden in the kitchen's walk-in freezer. When city health inspector Priscilla Presley arrives unexpectedly at Geico Gecko, Manny Faces distracts him while Charles Nelson Reilly stuffs the body in a large suitcase. Charles Nelson Reilly abandons the suitcase in the lobby to distract Anus. Stan Lee, unaware of the body's location, delivers the suitcase to hotel guest Sophia Loren, who owns a chain of travel agencies. Later, Priscilla Presley, Manny Faces, and Charles Nelson Reilly sneak into Sophia Loren's hotel room and retrieve the body. However, they are forced to drop the body down a laundry chute when Anus approaches. Ultimately, Sophia Loren and Anus see Stan Lee's body. The Geico Gecko's employees pass him off as a drunk to promote a new designated driver program for customers. Sophia Loren recommends the hotel to his fellow travel agents, and the employees later learn that Stan Lee died of a massive coronary.
Mm. I think you mixed up Anus and Living Tribunal. I'll say that much. Because I think you asked for a proper name, and that was Living Tribunal, and then just a regular noun. And then and that was supposed to be the rat poison. But
I don't know. I had noun for Living Tribunal. Long story short, if you're looking for a little fun fact about that new feature or whatever.
Yeah.
It was inspired by season 8, episode 18, You've Lost That Living Feeling.
I think I followed that.
I thought, So, like, your first one, I thought you were trying to show Ski how it's done. And then your second your second one, I thought you were like, well, maybe Ski had it right the first time around.
After 4 years, I'm still playing both sides of the fence.
Yeah. AC/DC as always.
Exactly. Don't call me this podcast switch hitter for nothing.
10,000 pick me's can't be wrong.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm good. It was a solid effort.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So anyways, so that was also going to act as our recap.
Yeah.
Season 8, episode 18. And it's competing against season 6, episode 26. Henny Penny, Straight No Chaser. And that's the episode where Blanche's ex-boyfriend planted a fake obituary in the paper saying she died at age 68. Blanche is okay with posting lies about luxury automobiles for sale, but she draws the line when it's about her perky bosom.
She also doesn't seem to care that she was posted as dead versus the age, which Dorothy keeps bringing up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I'll go first this time. So I went ahead and gave my vote to, Henny Penny, Straight No Chaser. I really, really, really like the bit about Blanche's obituary, and especially how it gave us a bit of closure from Mel Bushman.
Mm, very nice.
I am interested in the fact that you gave absolutely no context to the name behind the episode. You just talk about...
I mean, that was a classic Brent recap.
When did we talk about the play last time, last week?
Probably.
Yeah, we did, but I still feel like this could be... Every episode could be someone's first. And most episodes are someone's last.
Exactly.
I would say probably a good number is the first and last.
Exactly. Yeah.
Every episode is somebody's first, and every episode is two people's last.
Yeah.
I don't quite know how that math's working out, but that's what history has taught us.
Well, just to give a little more to Brent's Henny Penny, that's also the one where they put on the play for the school children, where they
had the measles outbreak in Florida.
Exactly, yeah.
And which so, is, like, totally happening now, right?
Yeah, I believe correct. So. Yeah. And so that one, they all dressed up as characters from Henny Penny and put on a fantastic production for the children.
Yeah, one of the best really little scenes, I think, in all the series.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then that other one.
I don't know, like... Are, like, the lyrics to the song, is that, like, a legit thing, or is that something the writers of this episode came up with, or...
I have no idea.
That's a good question.
My guess is that the writers came up with it so they wouldn't have to pay royalties, but gotcha. That may be old enough...
You don't think Henny Penny's public domain?
Well, it probably is, you know, like, the play itself, but the music from it may or may not have been, if it was original, you know, from, like, a stage play or whatever.
Yeah.
But...
So if there was a rock opera of Henny Penny, like, who would you like to have do that?
Baz Luhrmann? I don't know. What do you mean? Like, who would I like to have, yeah. like, write it?
Yeah, like, if somebody was to announce, you know, hey, my next album's a concept album about Henny Penny.
Oh, okay.
Who would you like that to be? Like, you want it to be Paul Wall or Taylor Swift or... Taylor Hicks or, I mean, James Taylor.
Just going with all the Taylors.
Exactly.
Those are your options, Alan. Don't deviate.
Let's see. I guess I would go with, I don't know, the Foo Fighters. I think they would put together a good rock opera.
Yeah.
Because they'd be a good rocking for one.
Yeah, and yeah. That's a good point. Like, they've not done the concept album thing yet.
So.
Yeah.
But anyways. So, yeah, and then the other one that Brent did his Mad Lib for, or I Ain't Mad Lib.
I Ain't Mad Lib.
was for...
I really like that title.
Yeah. Well, that episode was I think easily the best of the Golden Palace, in my opinion anyway.
See, I think I picked the burrito episode over that one.
That's fair. I mean, they're good competition, but for me personally, I just really like the farce aspect of it.
Yeah.
With all the different things going wrong.
Yeah. I like Stephen Root in that one.
Yeah, I agree. I liked almost everything in that one. But that said, Henny Penny
Straight No Chaser.
Yeah, Henny Penny Straight No Chaser is a pretty easy pick. This was the easiest of the four for me just because I like that episode so much. And the other one, I felt like it, I didn't look back at the bracket, but it just seemed like it must have had a somewhat easy road to the Elite Eight. I'll just say that much. Because I just feel like that it's,
there was Slim Pickens as far as good Golden Palace episodes?
Well, not necessarily that. It's just that if I'm thinking about, would I, in my mind, think that that Golden Palace episode was better than, you know, 192 other, you know, Golden Girls episodes? No, I don't think so. I think
No, but that's not fair because for each of the seasons, they only got two that moved forward.
Right. I'm just saying that I think it got good matchups that got it into the Elite Eight.
I mean, I think you take any Golden Palace episode, and I don't think any of them struck out. I mean, I think there were a lot of singles or doubles throughout there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's no brother, can you spare a jacket?
Exactly.
Yeah. Although Oliver tried.
Yeah. When we do the follow-up episode, we find out the worst episode.
Yeah.
We know that Sophia's choice is, like, the Golden Palace is not going to win.
Yeah. That's fair. They would not. Boy, the worst episode, that'd be interesting to look at our bottom four or five. Maybe that'll be an extra little feature we'll have on the last episode.
Tune in 2026.
Right? Yeah. All right, so mine is Henny Penny, Straight No Chaser. How about you, Ski? Who got your vote?
Oh, all the way. Yeah, same. Henny Penny.
Another sweep.
You picked it also, Brent?
I did. I thought I went first.
Yes, you did.
You probably did within the course of what you were saying, so I apologize that I didn't.
Just for context, the one from season 8.
I liked how they gave Mel Bushman closure.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. So that was what put it over the top for you.
Yeah, exactly. Because Mel Bushman,
with his wife, right?
Yeah. We only saw him like once or twice, but he had like maybe two other mentions.
She talked about him quite a few times.
Yeah. And I just like that.
Okay, fair enough.
It was one aspect of continuity there.
He really was.
And she even says as much, doesn't she? Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, good old Mel Bushman, could always count on him.
Exactly.
And then, oh, no, you can't because you turned 68 and he was done with you. And died.
Exactly. He's on the prowl for a pretty young thing.
But the Golden Palace episode, it was ranked 10th, and it actually beat out a 7th seed in the Sweet 16 round.
Okay. So a 10 seed beat a 7 seed?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that counts as an upset.
It's a minor one, but yeah, usually like in the NCAA, you'd have to at least be like a 5 versus a 12 or something for it to feel like more of an upset.
Agreed.
But once
you get lower in the bracket, you know, number-wise, it seems like it's, a wash.
All right, well, we've got our final four set now. And, you know, I'm going to actually go back on a vote that I had earlier because when I was at home, I voted for Home Again Rose Part 2. Mm. I had gone with Old Friends, and then before you cast your vote, I switched it to Old Friends, but I'm not going to go back. I am not undefeated.
Gotcha.
So that Old Friends still makes it through, doesn't change the final results, and I think that is the better choice in retrospect. However, I don't want it to seem that I'm being dishonest just to keep my perfect record intact.
I guess I'll settle for 15 out of 16.
Yeah.
I'll go on the record saying I couldn't care less.
98.9% is good.
But I appreciate your integrity.
Alan Humblebrag over there.
Yeah.
Almost perfect is okay, too, I guess.
That's okay. We all humble brag. Earlier, I was talking about my 11-inch wiener.
Yeah, and some of us just lie.
Is that when you claimed you had a 2-inch?
I just want to make you feel better. I thought there'd be something you might feel. What I did is...
Yeah, there's something I'd want to feel.
Well, you have a lot of inferiority complexes, I think. Gotcha. And so I was like, how low do I need to go to make Brent feel like his is bigger? So I went with 2, and and I saw the slight gleam in your eye.
I was like, 2, I've easily got 50% more than that.
Easily. All right, well, we got our final four now. So next week we're going to have, two really good matchups. It's going to be One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest versus The Way We Met. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have Old Friends versus Henny Penny Straight No Chaser to determine who goes into the final matchup at the end here. So I don't know. Do you guys have anything you wanted to add before we close out this episode?
No, it'll be interesting to see who moves on to the finals.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, I've enjoyed this little format that we've done. I don't know if there'd be a way to do something like this I actually did have an idea of how it could be done. I've told you guys before, I like the idea of our next iteration of this podcast being something where we review all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought we could still give them slices of cheesecake as the rating scale. And at the end of each year, we could have like a one or like a one episode tournament mm-hmm. of how it would go. So it'd be like, oh, okay, so like as our year in recap, mm-hmm. we would take all the things that we looked at and what are the 8 things or whatever they got the highest scores for us during that mm-hmm. year, and then we determine what the best thing we reviewed for that entire year mm-hmm. was.
Gotcha.
I think that'd be a fun, you know, like annual type of a situation to
do. I would think so, yeah.
Would we like take turns picking the topic?
Yeah, my thought with that podcast would be that 1 week, there, you know, 4 weeks in a month, okay. So each of us would pick the topic mm-hmm. 1 week, and then we'd have a listener-picked topic mm-hmm. for the 4th week.
Okay. That's kind of fun, yeah.
So mm-hmm. then, I don't know, we'll see. Like I said, obviously Brent has some many irons in his fire right now,
mm-hmm.
and so we'll let him get some of those out, yeah. But you know, hopefully we'll be not too long of a hiatus, but yeah. There's no hiatus yet. You still got 2 more episodes of this iteration of the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So,
and keep in mind, you can continue to listen to these over and over and over again as many times as you want.
We encourage you to keep us on a loop at all times.
Yeah.
To where eventually, you know, people will be like, wow, this podcast has a lot of listens. Maybe we need to sponsor these guys.
Exactly.
Soon to be defunct podcast.
Some premier channel will bring us back for a limited series.
So let me ask you this, Brent. I know that you have things that you need to work on. How much, if all of a sudden we got a sponsor that came in there like, hey, we want you guys to start advertising for our Bumblebee tuna or whatever. They're like, but, you know, you need to keep making new content. What's your number? Like, how much would we need to be making per episode for you to be like, I know I got a lot of other shit going on, yeah. but, you know, I'll keep committing myself to doing more podcasts mm-hmm. without any break.
Yeah.
What would be the number that they'd have to give us?
Oh, no.
If they said they would pay us $100 an episode, $300 an episode, yeah. so $100 each, would yeah. that be enough for you to be like, all right, I'm still in?
You know, maybe. You know, and it's one of those things that with the understanding that like Ski's not going to tell his wife that he's making an extra $100
uh-huh.
that way. Like if so I knew he was keeping it, exactly. If I knew he was keeping it for himself, I was like, yeah, sure.
Well, see, cause I was thinking like, all right, Ski, I was going to be like, all right, Ski, do you think you can afford $50 a week so we can split the cost, keep Brent in this. Oh. See how low I can get you down so, to defray our costs. Yeah, no, I would, if you were still up for it, I would keep, mm-hmm. I don't know, I would want a little break no matter what.
Yeah, definitely,
but
definitely.
Hopefully, anyway, that doesn't matter. We'll worry about tomorrow.
I'm just saying, $100 a week, that would subsidize the snacks and drinks I provide. Yeah.
So you're saying that water that Ski drank was like $33.33 worth of water?
I'm saying by the time we're done, I'll have gone through $16 worth of beer and $12 worth of snacks.
That's not nothing, Alan.
Yeah, that's true. It adds up.
It does.
All right. Well, I think we had a good Final Four going into the next week. And
that is bad of me for not offering you guys a beer, but neither of you have ever drank a beer in your life, have you?
I mean, I've drank a beer in my life, but I don't drink beer on any... Gotcha. It's probably been many years since I drank my last beer.
I don't think I've ever had a full beer. I've had sips of beer before, generally speaking, because, oh, man, you should try it at least. Here, try this. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was pretty young, we'd go to my grandparents' house in Evansville,
mm-hmm.
and my dad would always sit around with my uncles and mm-hmm. grandpa, and they'd all play cards and drink beer. And I remember as kids, we'd always want to try to sip a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and my dad would sometimes give me a small sip.
Yeah.
I did like it then, I don't like it now.
Yeah. I think Alan has a comparable story, except it's a parish priest.
There you go.
And it's a big gulp.
Exactly. It's just a large chalice of communion wine.
Yeah.
I feel funny.
Yeah.
That's normal, honey. Come help me get my robe off.
It makes it so much worse that he said the priest called me honey. I don't know why.
It really does sound dirty, yeah.
Again, Ski unintentionally, so much worse.
Exactly. Alan's like, I don't mind being molested, but I don't want to be the girl in the relationship.
All right, well, on that happy note, so we'll we'll see you next week for the final four, and just a couple weeks to go. But until then, stay golden, Coco.
Sorry for the blasphemy.
Hey, thanks so much for downloading today. If you enjoyed that opening, you should definitely check out Ashley Jade on YouTube. She has a bunch of awesome compositions on there. If you want to get in touch, you can email us at sophiaschoicepodcast@gmail.com. You can also reach us on Twitter at sophiaschoicepc. We plan to have a new episode out every Monday. If you have a moment, give us a rating on iTunes or wherever else fine podcasts are downloaded. And of course, stay golden.